Good morning. I am Skip LaCour. It's a brand new day, and this is our Morning Connection. How are you doing this morning? Morning Connection podcast number 90. 90 days in a row we've been together. And I have a very special guest joining me during this podcast this morning. My better half, my wife. You hear me talking about her all the time. Carrie LaCour. Say hello, Carrie.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
I thought it would be great to have Carrie on the podcast today, especially before we start the 10 best lessons that I've learned during the course of my life. We're going to do that through tomorrow's podcast, number 91 through 100, counting down to the best lesson that I've learned. Hey, thanks so much for joining this podcast, for committing to your daily discipline, your ritual of taking this time to think about you, your life, where you're going, right? And you're building trust in yourself every time you say you're going to do something. And even if it's something passive, like listening to this podcast where, you know, you have your routine where you're downloading it to your phone or your iPod or whatever, and you do it on your way to work or working out, whatever system you have, every single time you follow through, you're building trust in yourself. And every single time you count on someone out there who says they're going to step up and deliver, they're going to do these Morning Connection podcasts for you and get them posted on the website. Every time you click there and that person comes through, it helps you build trust in other people, which I talk about all the time. It's so important to the process of getting what you really want in your life, is getting other people to willingly and joyfully and enthusiastically and eagerly want to help you in the process, because you're creating such a tremendous value for them. You're creating this win-win situation. That's how it really works in life. And a lot of us in the fitness type industry, those of us who really commit to the bodybuilding and training process, we like it because we just have to worry about ourselves. And I want to talk about that today with Carrie. But the point that I'm making is when you start counting on people, people start coming through. What you realize is it's not that, you know, people are unreliable. It isn't that, you know, all people will let you down, and so you can't put your faith and trust or build your life or your day around them. What it is you have to know the importance of other people, and then you have to develop the skill set to find those people you can trust in. And you found that person in me. I've come through for you in these type of podcasts, and that's exactly my purpose, to help you understand who I am. I have Carrie on this podcast so you can see a big part of my life. It all plays into who I am. So you know who you're dealing with when it's time to invest in Results University, my comprehensive bodybuilding training program, when it's time you really want to take to the next level and you want to invest in one-on-one coaching. Or there's so many supplement companies out there. Who's going to deliver on their promises? You get to know who I am, right? You get to know who you can trust, and that's the purpose of this. And thank you so much for supporting Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition, my highest quality and most effective bodybuilding supplement and sports nutrition line. You know, that's what I do, right? When this microphone gets turned off, I get right to work on providing you with the highest quality, most effective bodybuilding supplements. So, Carrie, the first question that probably everybody wants to know from you being on this podcast is, am I really as wonderful as I seem like I am on these podcasts?
Even more so.
Dude, that's exactly what I told her to say. You might hear our daughter, Brooklyn, during this podcast, you know, little 2.5-month-old.
She's hanging out with us.
She's hanging out, so you might hear her.
We thought we could get her to sleep, but no such luck.
Right. So, you know, Carrie's a big part of everything that gets delivered to you, all the information, all the inspiration that gets delivered to you. Because when I deliver all these thoughts that, again, thank you so much for all the emails that you're sending me, how these podcasts and the work that I passionately do and I've been doing for so many years, you know, has helped you. Everything that I'm producing, even like these podcasts, carry such a big part because fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not quite so sure. I'm going to have to ask her about that, is it isn't that I just think of a thought and then boom, you know, you get to hear it. I mean, I think about it in my own head probably 20 times. And then I've got to work on its presentation. I'm working out in my mind. And so Carrie has to hear all these topics that you hear about probably a good 20, 30, 40 times before you actually hear it, so I can work out all the kinks. So
yeah, I'm pretty lucky that way. And like my life is like one big podcast.
Well, lucky or unlucky, right?
Well, I think most of it is lucky, whether or not I want to face it or not. Sometimes I think I'm unlucky, but it's all beneficial in the long run.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, so I'll be talking about something I'm just crazy passionate about, something that I probably have shared or will share with you either, you know, through this podcast or in my writing. And I'll say, yeah, Carrie, and I'll be talking about it. Like about halfway through it, I'll figure out that, you know, I just told her this. I just said this to her probably 5 minutes ago, definitely within the last 5 days. And she's so good that she pretends like she's never heard it before.
Or sometimes I zone out during the story and then he asks me if he's told it to me before. And I know he has. And I'm like, well, I know you have. And then I'm really in trouble if he asks me to repeat
right.
it. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what the punchline was.
I could tell by her body language that she didn't really get what I was saying. And so I go, okay, well, what's the point of that again? Anyway, I don't put that kind of pressure. It's just good to have somebody to practice on. But she gets all the motivational speeches. You know, Carrie, did you see on my Facebook page where some young guy, he said something, he said something. Oh, it was a picture that I posted that you took with me, with Brooklyn in front of our LaCour Vision Board, right?
Uh-huh.
And he said, man, Skip, I bet you're such a great dad. I wish you can be my dad.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read that? I thought that was...
He's a wonderful dad. It's amazing. Well, I couldn't ask for anything better.
Well, the point, though, is that I just thought that was really nice that he saw it that way. I take this this really seriously. You know, being that role model, being that mentor, and like I said, Carrie is such a big help because I get to practice and all the writing too. If I really have to stop and think and rewrite and then set down just the simple emails or tips, the process would go so slowly. So I just kind of just throw out my thoughts and then Carrie's there to proof it or, you know, rewrite it too. She's a really important part of this machine, helping you get the information. That's why I went to give you guys get a chance to meet her through this podcast. But, you know, I asked her, how often, honestly, do you actually listen to the podcast?
Well, half the times I hear it when I'm feeding Brooklyn in the morning. I can just hear you in the morning, you know, behind the door. But I would say in terms of me turning it on my own through my phone, probably 50% of the time.
Okay.
I listen to it, you know, 100%. You know,
yeah, and there's a lot of behind the scenes things that Carrie could tell you about that you guys don't see. Like, for example, so this is podcast number 90. I think on my WednesdayBodybuilding.com message board.
I'm feeling a little sentimental about all this, actually.
Right? Well, so I think I'm about up to like 69. So that's 160 podcasts that I have done. You know, over the last, I guess that would be over the last 90 days and over the last, you know, 70 weeks. And so out of 160 podcasts, they normally go perfectly well. But every once in a while, I have some, you know, malfunction with the system. And this has probably happened, I don't know, about 3, 4, maybe 5 times where.
Yeah, I always know when it happens.
Right. That's what I was going to say. So I delivered oh, man, guys, I am on fire. I mean, I have the Holy Spirit with me, and I'm just delivering this awesome podcast, right? And then it's time where I'm done, and I'm ready to turn off the system, and I realize it didn't record it. So Carrie gets to hear the loudest...
F-bomb.
The loudest F-bomb ever imagined, where the ground is shaking and the birds are flying away, you know, the scenes from the movies, because I just delivered that. See, the thing about it isn't so much that... And then, you know, all I have to do is just shut up after I get that F-bomb out, and then I just have to just start all over again, because I've sit and think about, number one, what I said or how much time I just wasted because of that malfunction. Now I got to do this whole 40-minute podcast all over again.
I feel so bad all the time when I hear you, because I know I heard how passionate you are about it. And the podcast is going so good, and then I hear you just go off. Like, oh, no, it didn't record.
But, again, that's only happened, I don't know, maybe five times. But here's the challenge, guys, is one is – it's like that's the point though that I was gonna make, is that, you know, I'm talking to Kerry about all this information, whether it's, you know, about bodybuilding and training, whether it's about man formation, whether it's the confessions of a recovering bodybuilder, our life or whatever our plans are, and I realize that, you know, a couple minutes into this, I just told her this 5 minutes ago, if not 5 days ago, right? Well, see, the challenge is when that malfunction happens. It's almost impossible for me to do a podcast about the same subject, because, and maybe you guys have noticed this if you're really paying attention during the five, you know, I don't know which ones they are to mark them, but it's like I'm pausing because I'm thinking, I just said that, or did I say that? Well, did I say that on the podcast that didn't work, or was it this one? Did I just say this 2 minutes ago? And so it's just a totally confusing podcast when I have to redo it. So that's part of the reason, not to mention
you're taking time out from all the hundreds of other things you have to do for, you know, during the day to do the podcast because you love it so much, and then you have to spend double the time recording it.
Well, they don't want to hear about that. They they just care about results, right?
Yeah, that's all that matters. Well, yeah, but you're, I mean, here for
you,
them.
Well, you are care about me and using time, and uh-huh, that comes away from family time, but all they care about is I step up and produce, right? It's all about results, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, but that's nice of you to say. So that's just interesting when that all happens. And, yeah, but it's almost impossible to do a podcast when it doesn't work. But I just think about you guys. I just think, hey, like I said, I will not let you down. There are some times where I'm thinking, screw this. I'm not doing this. I just did a 50-minute podcast. I'm not doing it over again, right? But I resist and I do it anyway. But anyway, let's talk about, you know, Kerry, she was a competitor. I'll let her tell you about that. Why don't you tell them about, you know, your relationship with fitness and your competitive career, how long you've been training and all those things.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was always really into working out and eating right ever since high school. And I got into competing when I was 21 at the time, I believe. And I competed for 6 years, both at the regional level and the national level. Started with the ABA organization, went through to NPC, won the Contra Costa twice, and went on to place second at nationals, and I still really, really love training. I was still training until we had the baby, and then now it's doesn't happen quite as much. But
she's still in great shape, and that just shows how much nutrition plays a part of it. She may not get to the gym quite as much anymore, but she still looks great because she pays attention to her nutrition. So that's a big deal. So how long did you compete?
6 years.
6 years. Yeah. Now, I just want to let you know that I did not know Kerry when she was all into competing and all the pro tan and all the stage and all that whole thing. And we have a lot of talks. I mean, you hear me talking about, you know, the addiction to bodybuilding, everything, all that tremendous focus that it took for me. You know, Kerry was going through all that stories. We share a lot of those stories, especially now.
Definitely.
We're at a different, you know, stage of our life where, you know, fitness is really, really important. Don't make, you know, we are going through a little bit of a transition, you know, with a newborn, but, you know, fitness is really important. Going to the gym, we know what to do. We've been training for so long. We know how to eat. We know how to stay in shape. I mean, our business, well, my business is fitness. Kerry was a personal trainer. And, you know, someone asked me this yesterday at the gym. What kind of classes that you teach? I know you teach a lot of classes.
Well, I teach, yeah, almost everything.
So what are they? Because, I didn't really know. I know you do yoga.
Actually, I did start teaching before I started personal training. I started teaching aerobics you know, I'd say probably 6 months before I started as a personal trainer. And this is back in LA at LA Fitness and 24 Hour Fitness and Gold's Gym. Anyway, but I teach step, spin, yoga, Pilates, boot camp, sculpt. So yeah, several different formats.
Yeah, your whole life was, you know, fitness, and
it
then
was.
You stack the competing on top of it.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
So we were, again, we didn't know each other mm-hmm. at the time. I don't know if I could date a fitness competitor and all that focus, especially the man I am right now. I mean, it would have been nice when I was competing, because she would leave me alone, because she would always have her stuff to do. That would be nice, and I can just compete. But I think when I was competing, you know, people who were really into fitness, that was never really appealed to me. I guess I just thought when I was done, the person who was so focused in fitness, that isn't going to build a level of intimacy that I know that I believe that it takes to have, you know, a real connected relationship if I wanted to be real connected. So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what we talk a lot, you know, the whole book that I'm writing, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder. I mean, you know, we've talked about that extensively. Actually, that was a big part of our relationship when we met.
That was one of the things that struck me. He started talking about the Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder book and just some of the details in terms of the lifestyle that you get so used to when you're involved in fitness and how so many other things in your life suffer as a result, you know, how unbalanced your life is. And there were just a few things that he said that I just looked at him going, oh my God, there's someone else in the world that knows what I'm going through.
Yeah. And that was probably a big connecting thing.
It was.
For us.
Yeah, yeah, definitely for me.
You know, it built the foundation of our relationship. And you know, I talk about this because, it's so important. The people who listen to this type of podcast are crazy passionate, you know, about bodybuilding and training, and at all different levels, not, you know, just competitors. And it's such a great, safe place to go. It feels good.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm very careful. It's very important that I don't step on that, that I don't ruin people's experience. You know, I got a lot out of bodybuilding and training, and it was a great thing that kind of, you know, calmed down some things, some chatter that was going on in my head. And so it was an important part of my life that I really value. At the same time, if I would have kept on thinking and doing in the same way, you know, I don't know if we would be enjoying, you know, the quality of life and intimacy and connection that we are right now. It could have been fine, but not at this level. So it's important that as their coach, as their friend, as their mentor, that I let them fully enjoy bodybuilding and training and really get the most out of it, and the strategies and the mindset, and I have so many years of helping them do that. But at the same time, you know, when it's time for them, you know, to move on with their life and maybe add some more dimension to it, and they don't really know how to get there from point A to point B, that's when I can really step in, and that's where, you know, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder can really help out a lot of people. But until that point, you know, somebody mm-hmm. would have said some of the things that I'm saying right now, right in the middle of one of my 6 national championships. I mean, I might have thought that was interesting, maybe something to put away and think about for later, but it wasn't going to change what I was doing, you know. So it's one of those things, you know, in addition to helping a beginner, mm-hmm. you know, get confident in the gym so he lasts, you know, 3 years, because, of course, when you can train for 3 years instead of 3 months, you're just going to be better, you know, no matter how frustrating or confusing everything sounds. You just can't help but be better after, you know, 3 years. I want to help them get there. So from beginners to, you know, intermediates who are stuck at that intermediate level of development, they feel stuck. And a lot of it's time in their mindset, you know, to get them to that really accomplished level that, you know, more time isn't going to do that. I want to help those people. And then, you know, really, you know, people who really want to compete and really want to take it to that really select level that you got to have that mindset of a champion. I want to help all those guys, right?
Yeah.
And I have to say,
I wish I had someone like you. Even though I was with fitness, it would have been nice to have all the great lessons that you're teaching these guys when I was going through my fitness journey.
Yeah.
And I'm sure several other people feel the same.
It's important for me that I continue to deliver that. And the whole other stuff that led us to where we are right now in our lives. And again, fitness is really important. I mean, if you were to see us, you would definitely know that we're, doing well in the whole fitness area, right? But when people are ready or they're searching, I can help them over to the other side too, not one or the other. A lot of times mm-hmm. in bodybuilding and fitness, people make things black and white, right or wrong. Like it's a level 10 or it's zero. There's nothing in between. You can get what you want out of life. You just have to ask different questions and take a different way of thinking and different strategies. I want to bodybuilding, fitness, mastery, and a higher quality of life. And, that's what a 22-year-old who's at the beginning of his bodybuilding and training process, he can't teach you that, because he's still got to go through it. He's got to go through all his ups and downs and then come out the other side. And that's where I think I am. I think that no matter where you are, I can bring you to my 25, years of experience. But anyway, let's talk about, we have a couple of funny stories. So now when we met, did you know who I was before we actually met in person?
Yeah. So I knew who Skip was basically from the magazines. I remember, being in a grocery store years ago, over 10 years ago, I think it was. And one of my coworkers, we were just in there on a break or something looking at magazines. And there was, I guess there was a picture of Skip in there. I don't quite remember. But he said, oh, dude, do you know who Skip LaCour was? And I said, yeah, I think I've heard his name before.
And how long ago was that?
That was over 10 years ago. That was back in LA. And it's probably
we live in the San Francisco Bay Area, Northern California, by the way.
Yeah. I'm pretending like everyone knows, like, oh yeah, when I was in LA.
Well, that's because that, especially if, we have plans. There's a lot of things going on where Carrie's going to become a part of this business, a little section, because she has a lot of stuff I think that it can add value to all the people who listen to this podcast, follow skiplacour.com, a lot of value to it. And so I'm going to introduce her into it. I mean, we've got certain priorities first, but there's a lot of things that she can do with her experience. Oh, by the way, I don't know if I told you, Craig from New York City, a guy who signed up for my weekly one-on-one coaching this past week, right? This guy is a mover and a shaker. He's got his own business. In addition to a well-paying, secure job, right? And he works with New York City politicians. They just had their races, right? So this guy is a really accomplished guy, Craig. And one thing that pushed him over the edge, to sign up for coaching after following my work for a long time, was that he heard me on the podcast talking, because in the last couple weeks or so, I've been talking about how we're retooling.
Yeah.
We're really getting our own personal vision and how we're working as a team to work towards that vision. So how I talked about how you and I are doing this, as a team,
mm-hmm.
He realized that he needs to get, his wife involved
good.
It happen. And so that's what he mentioned was the thing that pushed him over the edge to sign up for coaching. So I think that there's a lot of things that we can, help out, my contract manufacturer, he just sent me an email, Adam, he just sent me an email. This is a guy who's really a great partner in Mass Machine Nutrition, and he's got a great team to develop the products. And so one product that he has on thing is a women's pre-workout.
Oh, cool.
And I told him, I said, this was just last night, and I told him, I said, and that's the thing about it, I would seem to be working 24 hours a day. This guy works 24 hours a day. I'm really fortunate. All the stuff that I talk about, that I have such a team of people that that are great, that are willing to work with me. I mean, isn't that, true?
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely all this stuff that I teach you that I've learned by not doing it for so many years. Anyway, well, Adam's coming out with he's got this formula for a woman's pre-workout.
Cool.
Yeah, and I said, well, that 90.
he goes,
that 99% of the people who follow me are men, don't you? And so I told him, I said, I'm going to have to get my wife involved.
Yeah.
And he said, do it.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I think there's a lot of things that you can add to the dimension of everything we're going to, help these people out.
Mm-hmm.
But, that perspective. So,
Okay, so
you were talking about down in LA,
right?
How you were,
yeah. So this person asked me if I knew who he was, and I had heard his name before, and you know, certain circles. And he said, "Well, I think he's a really great guy. There's all this controversy of whether or not he's natural, and people think this, and this person says that, and but I think he's just doing a great thing for the sport." And that was my very first, you know, recollection. And then since
was
then,
was that a big deal to you? The reason why is like on the internet now, I mean, it's just out of control now. A guy just has abs. He could be 150 pounds with abs. And is he natty? He's not natty. He's half natty. All this stuff going around, right? And I wonder, I go, God, everybody seems to be so obsessed with that. And I'm just thinking, is the people who are really, who see that person as their peer, and so they gotta, you know, compare themselves to that person? Or would a woman who's talking about some bodybuilder in a magazine, do you really care? You know, is this a controversy of natural versus not?
Is that a woman was looking at a man?
Yeah, was that, is that a big deal in your head? You know, I just wonder. I mean, I just live my life. I do my thing. I get my emails.
I think that's kind of like, that's kind of like almost along the same lines. Like when a guy says that about another bodybuilder, it's sort of like a girl seeing another hot girl and going, well, her boobs are fake. And how much time does she spend on her makeup every day? And this and that. And they, you know, they kind of try to cut her down. It's just,
well,
it's,
I can
sort
tell
of
from a guy's point of view, that just goes in one ear and out the other when a woman says that. So is that the same thing? When
I don't know that it makes that much of a difference to
that,
the women,
you know,
really.
And the reason
and besides a moral, you know, any moral issues they have with it. But.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, guys, if you're all caught up in that issue, I don't know how many people really care. And I don't mean that it's okay to use drugs. I mean, obviously, I don't think in your life plan, not a good idea. Actually, in your bodybuilding, you know, you're going to know how to do it anyway, and you're going to, I would think, have to stop using drugs, and you're going to be reverting back to how you have to do it anyway. So why have it if it's just going
to
be gone? I mean, I don't know. Those that's my
not to mention and mess up other things.
Yeah, well, you know, but I'm just saying that that's just my thinking, and so that's how I live my life, and so I can only speak from that perspective, right?
Yeah.
But forget about all that stuff. It's just that, you know, if you're all caught up in the issue of like, he thinks this, I hear a lot of natural bodybuilders, they're just really consumed with what people think about them, you know, and they go on this defense, and they create videos, and I just don't know if anybody except for, you know, that guy, that very small group of guys who are training, trying to figure that out, I don't know how much anybody, you know, really cares for you to be so consumed where it ruins your day. I don't know, it's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think I'd agree with you on that.
So talk about, it was funny how we met, because we got a couple different versions of how that all happened.
Yeah, so since that one little experience I had in the store that day, I had read several articles by Skip, you know, throughout the next coming years. And so, you know, his name was in my head. I knew his name. And then when when I came to the gym that we currently both go to, I started working as a personal trainer. Yeah, this is years later. So this was 2011, I think. And then, anyway, so we met through that gym. Skip approached me in the gym. We started getting a conversation. And I can remember I was just, you know, I was really tired that day. I was like sitting on the bench waiting for my client. My client was late. And we got to talking about competing. And and I knew he was a competitor. I knew he was a seasoned competitor by how he looked.
This was many years after I was competing, just to let you guys know. So it didn't just go away. She can tell I was a seasoned competitor many years after I stopped competing.
Yes, yes.
I just want to throw that in there, guys.
So, you know, he started asking me, well, okay, so what shows did you do? And I just, at the time, I just kind of like wasn't having it. I said, well, you know, blah, blah. At the national level, you know, it's like this, this, this. And he said, oh, well, what national show did you do? And I said, I did.
I didn't sound like that. Oh,
Team
well,
Universe.
What
and he's I like, oh,
wait, six
times.
I just want to clear something up. See, her version of the story makes me sound like such a puss, right? I didn't say, oh.
No.
I didn't say, oh, what contest did you did? I probably was cool. You were cool. I probably was like, and probably disinterested or
playing
giving
the man formation. Disarming the alpha female.
I said, Oh, really? You did a competition? Oh, which one?
I probably was cool like that, right?
Okay, maybe.
Oh, what competition did you do?
I'm glamorizing it a little bit.
No, you're pussifying it.
So then he proceeds to tell me that he won that show however many times, and I thought,
that isn't how it happened.
I'm sure. Well, I did this. See, now you're sound like a total bodybuilding douche.
No, it wasn't. He didn't
sound
cocky. He didn't make it sound like it wasn't like cocky sounding. Stating a fact.
But no, see, the thing, it's the subtleties, right? It's the subtleties, and this is what I teach these guys in Man Formation. You don't say, well, I won that 6 times or whatever. No, I probably said you did a show, and you said you did that Team Universe. She did it after I did it. So
yeah.
I
started competing right after he ended. You know, maybe we crossed over like 1 year.
But I didn't know. I didn't know where. So she kind of mentioned it. The thing was that you asked me if I knew what the team. You said you did that Team Universe, and you were talking to me like it's this. She was going in all this detail about show, and I coolly and subtly mentioned that, I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I might have thrown in that I'm so familiar that I did it 10 years in a row and I won it.
And then I've been thinking to myself, well, if he won it that many times, then he must be pro or could have been a pro. So I have to know who this, I must know who this person is. So the wheels started turning in my head going, who is this guy?
And I'm thinking, she must not be very much into this. Don't you know who I am? You better ask somebody.
So then,
not
started,
really.
Yeah.
I'm kidding there.
So then, I'm like starting to perk up.
Let me say one thing about that too. About if someone's listening to the show, they know who I am. They know what I've competed. Obviously, if they would listen to a podcast like this, right? That's not how it works in the real world. Nobody knows who bodybuilders are, right? So it's like I never am out in public, especially, in my heyday when I was in the magazines all the time or on Tony Robbins infomercials or Twin Lab commercials. You know, I could be at a bodybuilding show, right? I could be at a bodybuilding show and people don't know who I am. A bodybuilding show. Yeah. I can think of two events. I remember it was at Penn State. There was some contest at Penn State at, Pittsburgh or wherever, and some guy who was a competitor, I thought he was some big cocky masters guy who maybe owned that little city or whatever. He was like the big man. And he walked up to me and said, I think I was even in a booth, like a Twin Lab booth or something like that. And he said to me, he goes, you know what? Somebody says you're a big deal. So who are you? I mean, that was a competitor at a show. And then I remember I had a guest posing. I had a guest where I was on the poster. I was the guest poser, right? So it isn't like I was just there in regular clothes just watching the show and there's a lot of meatheads in the audience. I was the guest poser. Then I'm the poster, right? And so it was at the end of the show, the guest poser. And what that is they bring in somebody who should be known nationally or internationally to be at your local show. And this was in Salt Lake City, I believe. And you pose, at the end of the show so they can, see somebody in the magazines at their local show. And so I was putting on the paint before, and there was an actual competitor. He was a young guy. He's like 21. He was really nervous before going on. He said, hey, man, what class are you in? So he didn't even know who I am. So I never think, don't
he
you
He
know?
Was scared for that one. He's like, I hope he's not in my class.
But I think he knew that because I think he looked like he was really small, like a lightweight or something like that. Hopefully he knew that much. But the point is I never take for granted that anybody knows or anybody cares who I am because of bodybuilding. Because you just never know. You can be at a show and people don't know who you are. But then I'll always be surprised where, I'll be in Seattle and some guy will be some skinny, tall guy, doesn't even look like he works out, will run down the aisle and say that, hey, are you Skip LaCour or whatever, right? So
where's your place that you, Napa, that's your, where everyone recognizes you.
No, I have this, Napa, the wine country, and I have this joke. There's this movie, I forget, what was that movie? It was with Sally Fields, and she played an actress who was on her way out. It was soap opera.
Soap box.
Soap or something. I think it was soap with Sally Field. And so her big thing was she was a what used to be a really popular soap opera star on TV. And so she's on the downside of her career. And so every time she needed a little ego boost, it's time to go to the mall, right? And so she'd go with her assistant with her, walking the mall. So that's where she'd be noticed. And she's like, oh, yes. Like, that's when she came so people would notice.
It's me.
Yeah. So people would notice her and recognize her, right, and pump up her ego. But she would play it off like, oh, my gosh, what a surprise. Oh, yes, that's me. Where that was her, and that was the purpose of the visit to the mall, right? And so I joke around, for me, if I don't really go that many times, but the Napa, the wine country, it's and people from all over the world, we're just like a half hour away from beautiful Napa wine country. By the way, we've never gone.
We've never gone
wine tasting.
I've yet to experience the all the people.
Oh, now the pressure's on, right? No, it seems like every time like I go there, and people come from all over the world to Napa, to the wine country, and it's somebody from another, definitely from another state, if not another country, they always recognize me. And I'm going, So it seems like that's my big ego boost. That's my mall going to Napa.
Time to go to Napa.
Yeah. Every time I'm feeling kind of down, But the point.
That means you haven't been down since you've been with me. So.
Yeah, that's it. You're my own personal Napa. But the point is, I never assume that anybody knows who I am, even if I'm at a bodybuilding show. So, that don't you know who I am thing, that was totally a joke.
Yeah. So, but then, he started talking about how he had a supplement company and...
Oh, again.
What?
It's the subtlety.
You casually mentioned it, I must say. But of course, it's impressive to me. So.
No, I know. But see, the thing is with this whole manformation thing, you don't remember. But it's all in the subtleties, guys. I mean, you have to. I always talk about how, if you don't put value in yourself, nobody else is going to put any value. And it's all whether you think you're selling yourself or not, you are always selling yourself. It's just a matter of how well you're doing it or not doing it.
You were selling yourself.
Well, but my point is, that's what I teach them, is that if you just sit back and think that, people are going to think you're wonderful or just somehow stumble into all your accomplishments, that's not how life works. And a lot of the people who struggle in life, the 90%, they always force you into this box of feeling humble, to play yourself down. Now, I'm not saying to be a big bragger or be arrogant about it, but there are...
I probably err on that side.
What?
I make the mistake of playing myself down, I think.
Yeah, probably.
But I think that you're teaching me gradually how to not think that way. Anyways.
Well, yeah. And so, but what I'm saying is there's a way not to be arrogant.
Right.
But to sell yourself. You're always selling yourself. Look, here we are, doing this podcast together, married, happy, we got a baby. What if I would have just... sat back. I had all these, qualities, and there was no way to communicate them.
But again, I
kind of joke around because you're telling them the bottom line of the message that was communicated. But if I would have just boldly just said that I'm a 6-time national champion,
no,
I've got this
like
supplement
that.
Company.
No, not at all.
Well, then that's ineffective.
I'm just stating the facts.
Well, you're the bottom line of what you got out of it. But I just need to clear up to these guys all the subtleties because that's what manformation is all about. And the way I probably did say that is I weighed it to an opportunity and I subtly threw that in, dovetailing something that you said.
Well, my point is that I was just getting more and more impressed, and I knew I was getting an idea like, okay, so.
Right. And I understand.
Yeah.
And that's, I must have effectively communicated the message.
Yes.
But again, they're hearing it the very basic.
Right. The
very basic of where,
manformation,
there's more the subtle way of getting that direct message across where you don't have to be arrogant about it. But you can't just sit back. You can't sit back. That was very valuable.
It was just something that came up in the conversation.
Your first impressions with people are very important.
Yes.
It could lead you, look, you were influenced away, make the greatest decision of your life of marrying me, right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, or you can sit back and, have these rules that, it's arrogant to do this or do that. And you just think if you're good enough that people will just know that. But, there are things that were very important to you. I read your body language. I talked to you. I knew what was important to you. I knew the things that I worked very hard to become in my life, that would be something that it's just who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you would find it impressive because you're going down that. It's that commonality. It's that rapport. It's that bond. And that's what Manformation is all about. It's how to sell yourself in this world in an elegant, an efficient manner that isn't arrogant and challenges a lot of people's rules, right? On should you just sit back and what the word humble means.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's really important that I kind of clear that up. I talk about, the people who I have working with me for Mass Machine Nutrition, let's say the best. Guys, I have people working with me on developing, and I'm really excited about it. You know, Carrie knows about all these products that I'm developing and everything that I have going on with Mass Machine Nutrition. I have the best companies working with me. You know, like for example, they're working with the very top in the industry, and they're pioneers that have been doing this for 25 years. The only reason why they're taking interest in me is because of, what they perceive of my reputation, the same, qualities or whatever that came up in that conversation when you heard about me 10 years ago. And then how I communicate, how I sell my vision, my dream, that they want to be a part of it, and I can help them out too. So it's really about, we're talking about our lives here, right? But I really always make a point in a podcast. It's really not about me. It's really about...
No, definitely not.
Yeah, what they can learn from my experience, what they can learn from our experience. So I think that there's a lot of subtleties in that that are really important. And that's what Manformation is all about.
Yeah.
Because, and again, what Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder is all about. Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder is what I found to be true. And still to this day, it's very obvious to me now, especially being in this business for so years and observing a lot of people who do this, is that, somewhere along the line, people's trust in other people was broken. Maybe it started very, very young when their parents broke up. Their dad left or their mom died or something, something like that. Something developed a lack of trust in other people at a very young age. And then they didn't develop the skill set to deal with other people. And I talk about when I was 19 years old working at the grocery store and I'm managing these people that are 10, 20 years older than me. What the hell did I know about people? Whatever. So I didn't have a good skill set. So if I got the impression that, wow, employees are bad, they don't do what they say, people are slackers, is that really because that's how they are? Or because some 19-year-old kid with a very limited life experience was trying to manage people, he did it ineffectively, and then he developed these beliefs about how people were? Well, that's how a lot of people are who have had those traumas. Then they're at 12 years old or 14 years old, or their first relationships with their boyfriends or girlfriends at 16 or 18, they don't have the skill set. They didn't learn it when they were younger. They didn't have good role models. And then they have crappy relationships. They attract the wrong people. They don't know how to manage the frames of their relationships. So from 16, to 22 or 24 or whatever, they have crappy relationships. And it's really because they don't understand the subtleties, how relationships work, what they have to do, the standards they have to set for the people that they attract, and then cut loose when it's time. And so there's this whole life where people have let them down. They don't have the skill set. Again, business and work usually carries over in a lot of areas of their life. And I'm not saying their lives are horrible, all right? Again, people, things aren't black or white. It isn't right or wrong. It's not a 10 or a 0. Their lives can be okay and functional in some areas, but it falls short of the quality of life that they really want.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to take it to that next level. They can stay where they are, whether you consider that an 8 or a 7 or 6, or it's fairly good, and they really want a 10. They don't have that skill set or that mindset on how to take it to a 10. And so that's what's so attractive about the bodybuilding and training lifestyle, is that you depend on you. hey, I got to eat these meals at this particular time. I thought I'd go to the gym. I got to keep on pushing myself to a higher and higher level. You know what I'm talking about,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there's safety and there's comfort and there's structure. And then, and you know this, you look amazing, is that everybody just compliments you all the time.
Yeah.
The guys are attracted to you. The women admire you. You know, so you're rewarded for that very structured, disciplined lifestyle where the result is an amazing body. Maybe the result isn't the higher quality of life that you
mm-hmm.
want, but it's an amazing body. You know, it's not working. How many times, how many times in your competitive career when you are winning on stage but losing in life? And people would come up to you
most
and say,
of the time.
Oh my God, Carrie, you're amazing. Your physique is amazing, mm-hmm. man. Girl, you have so much discipline. You're just a winner. I really admire you. And they would say those things to you, and you would be going, it's really not that cracked. It's not what's cracked up to
you. Yeah, and I think that was one of the big things about my journey is, like, you know, I just had, like, this appearance that everything was so put together. You know, I was whatever, presentable, and, like, all my clients thought I was so organized, and, you know, it was just,
and
like, everyone
you,
thought that I just had, like, this perfect life, and I was, like, you know, I would go home and be, like, ugh.
But you were organized, and it was...
With their stuff, with,
well,
you know,
which was your stuff. I mean, you focused on that one area.
Yeah,
your
on
body,
that one
your
area.
Training, your communication, your fitness. You were a master at that.
Yeah,
you were
yeah.
perfect, because that's all they needed from you. They didn't care about if you went home and... You know, was getting closer to whatever dream life you did or didn't have in mind.
Yeah.
That wasn't important to them. You were delivering
the
inspiration, the way you looked, and you were delivering the information with
mm-hmm.
your training, right?
Right,
so what they complimented you on, you were outstanding at, right? And that's the thing about it. When you have this body and you're so disciplined, everybody's going to compliment you on how outstanding you are.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to say, well, okay, yeah, I've told the story. That, man, I was on Tony Robbins infomercial because of my success in bodybuilding. It came on the tails of a Twin Lab commercial that they played, like, on NBC or CBS on the Final Four, right? It was playing during the Final Four National Championship college basketball.
I wish I could say I remembered that. I didn't see it.
But, you know, all their articles in the magazines, whatever championships I had won at that time. And I remember I was driving up the road to my mailbox, which was down the road in Pleasanton at the time. And, you know, I had to stop, put oil in my car.
Oh,
yeah. I told you this story. And some guys, are you Skip LaCour or whatever? Or he said, is anybody, you know, he didn't say.
Oh, he said he looked like Skip
LaCour. Yeah, and I wasn't really happy with being Skip LaCour. I knew that side of life that I concentrate on was awesome and outstanding, but that didn't mean much to me. I appreciated it, but it just created so many holes in other areas of my life. And I just said, I didn't want to deal with that. I just said, oh, uh-huh. He goes, and he wanted to kind of know if I was Skip LaCour, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, do you know who that is? But he just didn't ask me that, right? He said, well, do you know who that is? I go, yeah, it's a bodybuilder, right? And I'm just thinking, I got it. Okay, guy, just go. Just leave. Leave right now. I'm not in a place right now. Not particularly happy with the total picture of life. And I just remember I waited till he went away. I said, yeah, I know who that is. He's a bodybuilder, right? He goes, yeah. And he walked away, and I kind of waited a couple seconds. I kind of looked over my shoulder, and he was kind of shaking his head like, wow, that was weird. That guy looked like Skip LaCour, you know? So,
yeah, because you're not your average-looking man anyway. So it's like, well,
above average.
Is that him?
You mean above average? I'm an above average looking man.
I said you're not the average looking man.
I know. I'm kidding.
But, he is above average looking. But, I mean, his physique and frame you wouldn't take for your guy on the street.
But the point is, you know, you pay such a price for that dedication.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of guys, people who are paying the price with their fitness, they don't realize it yet. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I kind of did, and sometimes I did. Obviously, I didn't understand its impact, or I would have made some changes a long time ago. But, you know.
And sometimes you don't even realize until after the fact, and then you, oh, wow, I was missing all of this, and why didn't, you know, I make changes.
And again,
sooner?
The point, though, is I think what we can help you with, definitely, you know, what my message is, that there is a way to have both. It's just you have to ask yourself the right questions and do the right things right from the beginning. You don't necessarily have to, you know, you have to be dedicated and focused. I always talk about balance, that balance isn't your balance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every month. But, you know, you might have to dedicate, like, this is a long-term thing, a whole year being totally focused and then learn how to balance it. But the thing is, you have to ask the right question. You have to have the right, you know, goal in mind right from the beginning. Another example that I use is, like, when I want to quit my job that I had for 15 years and all the security, and I said that I want to live my dreams, live my passion, do what I love to do, help other people, and make a living from bodybuilding, fitness, my passion, right? So a couple things and how I formed that goal in my mind. Number one, you notice I mentioned all those things, and then the financial thing was at the very
end.
And again, if you're taught, oh, humble, oh, that's the right way to think, Skip, you know, like a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm here to tell you that that's not how your brain works. That may not be a win-win situation where you're going to be doing it 25 years from now if you don't set up the game correctly. And so number one is where it was placed in my vision. And then the second thing is make a living versus create awesome wealth for my future family. I could have easily at the beginning, 25 or however many years when I decided to do that, I could have set it up where I'm going to live my passion helping out people all over the world, just create so much value for them, and at the same time, they're going to reciprocate by helping me take care of my family and my family's family and at an extraordinary level, and it's totally proportional to the amount of value I provide them. I could have set that up in my head that way, you know, whatever, 15, 20 years ago, whatever, and I would have had gone on a whole different route and a whole different outcome. For example, I mean, all the time that I spent, even like still now, like with all the free information, what if I cut back half the free information and a bundle in a way that created a value? I mean, there is a way to do it, but you, right from the beginning, you have to ask yourself the right questions. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go on a journey, then suffer the pain, the good with it, but also the pain, and then you're going to have to make adjustments later. You know, with a better plan from the beginning, you could do them both. Not that there's sacrifice, not that there's not sacrifice, not that there's not pain going to be involved with like with everything, but it's just a better plan. And that's some perspective that I can give you guys if you're ready for that, right? There is a way. I had a mentor say that it's not an either or world, it's an and world.
Right.
You can have, it's just how you set it up, right? And anyway, so I definitely think, you know, if you guys like this type of talk of, you know, maybe there's some couples out there. Like I said, you know, Craig in New York signed up just because of I talked about where we are and our goals and our relationship. I mean, if this is some stuff that you guys like, just send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com, and maybe we'll do this, I don't know, once a month or something like that. Would
Sounds
you be willing
to
do that? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, I think they got a chance to know you. You know, your perceptions of the bodybuilding world on the internet. You know, I again, you know, I'm in my world, but, you know, what do you see as far as the personalities? I mean, especially with the stuff, the information that I have to offer, you say that if you had some of this information, it could have, you know, made things a lot easier for you. Where do you see where, you know, you were out there, you were in the gyms all the time, right? You know, new people who are competing, you are on that circle. Where do you think they fall short, and where do you think some of the stuff that I offer can help them most?
You know, I think when I was going through, I just didn't really have anyone to ask any questions to. So in terms of, I mean, it's so different with the internet now. Perspective on, you know, everyone says, oh, I don't know, balance. But I think that you're really the only one out there that gives them that perspective of the other side of what it's like to, you know, have all the fitness, you know, passion and going for your goals and your dreams, but yet not to lose sight of everything else, you know, in life.
And there's
and I don't know that there's anyone else out there that really does that. You know, everyone's just more about hardcore. What's your excuse?
Right.
You know, got to do this, got to get in the gym, blah, 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 you know, all about being as dedicated as you can be. That's great.
I have to be fair. That's something that that's something I evolved to.
It is something you evolved to, but have seen the other side and how to balance that with everything else in your life to make your life successful as a whole, not just your fitness, your area of fitness.
Well, this probably happens with you, with your clients, where, you know, they see all the strategies as black or white. And they go, well, I read this. And you talk about the internet now. That probably happened with, you know, your clients, where you have them do a certain routine or you have them eat a certain way. Well, I read this. What do you think about this? What about all that confusion you talk about the internet? How do you deal with that with your clients?
Well, now, actually, I mean, you've sort of helped me with that, like just telling them, you know, making it as simple as possible. Whereas before, you know, someone would ask me, well, what about this? And, you know, and I would go and I would read the article and I would take the time to figure out and like give them like this intricate answer. Whereas, you know, I've kind of observed how you deal with that. And it's very, very, it's a lot more effective if I just tell them the very simple answer that I have.
Yeah, my strategy,
you know, I mean,
yeah,
that works.
You know, my strategy when they have to deal with all this information overload is I really climb into that person. It's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because if they really want to know the simple answer, they need to assume that whatever they've done, I've done it over these 25 years. I've read about it.
Yeah.
I studied it. And same thing with you when they tell you about some, you know, you've done it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to just follow what you say, they would just observe what you do and just follow it.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, how people operate. So I got to step into their mind. And what I realize is what they really want is whatever they do, it's certainty and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
They want to realize that they somehow believe.
Do you think that bodybuilders are more confident people in general or less confident?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this attracts a certain group, but it's, you know, all people are different.
Yeah.
And so it really depends on, at the beginning, it's like, why are they coming to bodybuilding? You know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people come to bodybuilding because of something's going wrong in their life, so they're not confident, right? You know how it is. Let's just take it at the basic level at the gym. I mean, what percentage of people, when you see a new person in the gym, right, they just sign up, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think just got out of a relationship or are just about getting out of a relationship, right?
Good percentage, probably.
At least half. There's going through this where life isn't going so well. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's the relationship, right? So that isn't the most confident state for them, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what attracts the structure of fitness and everything like that. By the way, guys, you know, if you don't belong to a gym, you know, always have first dibs on the new girl in the gym because she's probably looking to find a trade up on her relationship or she just broke up. That's some easy picking. There's a little man formation tip for you there. No, but anyway, it's like there's some void, you know, in their life that they're, you know, getting in shape, getting structured, getting control is going to help. So I think that bodybuilding generally attracts that in a lot, not all, not 100%, right? There's some people that have everything else going well, and then they come in because now the last frontier is getting their body in shape. So, you know, that's a percentage of people. I do think that, you know, when it comes to bodybuilding and training, I think that the higher a person goes in bodybuilding and training, like a Ronnie Coleman, you know, a Phil Heath, or, you know, who's ever at the top, if they made it that far, they're a confident person, and it's for two reasons. One is they tried something. They succeed at a massive level, and so how can you not be confident, right? And they've got enough references that, hey, I've done it from their trophies, their titles, but also from all the people who tell them how great they are. So how can you not be confident? So that's number one. And then, you know, number two is that a lot of them, that's the one area that they focused on, and so how can they not be good at it, right? There are a few people that I've noticed in this bodybuilding. So, again, the higher you go, I think that the guys who are in the magazines on the top, they're a lot more confident. Regardless of what everybody's stereotype is of bodybuilder, they are a lot more confident, right? Okay,
yeah.
The people at the top.
Yeah,
but
the
people, and it's not about size, how big they are, it's really what they've accomplished, right?
Yes.
Because there can be a really huge guy at your local gym, and he's not confident because he's in the beginning of this process. So so I would definitely say that, you know, it's where they are in their journey, not necessarily how big they are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is confidence. I think the whole Man Formation program, the reason why, you know, people love, you know, my style of teaching and, you know, training and mass machine training and those type of things. But what's surprising to me is no matter what their idea approach to bodybuilding training, whether they're more into the science of it or they don't want to compete or the things that don't things that may not exactly align, they're not so much in the mindset as maybe I am, things that maybe I value that they don't value quite as much, but because they're in this whole world of bodybuilding and training, they're attracted to it. That's what's really attracting to the man formation alpha leadership strategies, because the reason why they started working out is for the same reasons why they need man formation. Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting that way. But you know, some, like for example, like there are people who are just confident, right? Like you guys may not know because you're going by what you heard on a YouTube video or on the internet or you read, but you know, guys like Sean Ray, I mean, guy is just confident, you know what I mean? I mean, I think some people see him as arrogant, but he has a lot of references, a lot of successes, both inside and outside of the gym. He's just confident, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's not worried about certain things that people who aren't confident. Other guys that, I think Ronnie Coleman is that way, you know, just really confident about, you know, who he is. Tony Freeman is another guy who's just confident. Dennis James, you know, you've seen me talk to some of these guys, you know, and there's some guys who are really successful that you would think that they have all the reason in the world to be confident, but they're really not. And if you saw that YouTube, well, you were there. You filmed that YouTube video I did with Flex Wheeler, in San Jose. You guys can look at that on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/SkipLaCour. And he'll talk about, you know, his demons, the chatter in his head that, you know, he's had his entire life and his level of confidence. So I think that all people are individuals, but I think that anybody, I think man, woman, whatever age, who are attracted to this fitness, there's a general void that they're feeling.
I'd agree.
A lot of interesting stuff. We could probably talk about for hours. You know, we've been talking for an hour now.
Oh, my. And these were supposed to originally be 10-minute podcasts.
Yeah, that's what I always say. You know, it's
now
like
I know how easy it is for you to run these podcasts so long. Well, time just flies when you get to talking about stuff.
So Carrie is obviously a big part of my life plan, my business plan, our plans, right? And so I come up with these things, like I said, you know, wait for business to get you guys to know who I am. So I start these podcasts being, you know, 10 minutes. And then really, I mean, from production, even if I don't have to redo it again, right? All the thought that goes into it, all the practicing on you that for your benefit, I make Carrie here 10 times, you know, a lot goes into it. And then the production, I got to do all the computer work and the uploading. And
the cool artwork.
You know, I do all that stuff. So, you know, it seems like it's about, you know, an hour and 20 minutes, you know, a day, right, of my prime time. Yeah. You know, so there's quite an investment, but I love doing it. I love that you're reciprocating, you know, all my efforts. Again, big shout out to the new Results University students who enrolled Woo-hoo! This past week, and a couple new one-on-one weekly coaching clients this week, too. Awesome, guys. You know, if you guys are interested in that, go to skiplacour.com, go under the coaching tab, weekly coaching. That's really next level stuff, right? That's what you really want. And like I said, you hear me talk about my clients, and, you know, they're guys who
I feel like
working with politicians and the 25-year-old multimillionaire guy who sometimes I think I should be asking him for some coaching, right? You know, so there's, you know, guys who are really aggressively going to the president of the college. So it's not just about bodybuilding training, although we work that in. You know, you'll see how simple that process is with that type of coaching. Talk to them for half an hour every week, same time every day. So it's a great program if you're really aggressively going into it. And my Results University, you know, that's 26 hours of video, 23 hours of audio, plus the Man Formation program that I've talked about several times during this podcast. Results University, that's the best $197 investment a person can make. Plus, I added where, you know, another podcast that Carrie asked to hear, because it's on Sundays where I'm here in the home office. You know, I break away from, you know, football at this time of year to do the half hour booster shot podcast that they get every single week with Results University. I mean, definitely if you want to master it, I got my life, blood, sweat, and tears into teaching you that. So, congratulations and welcome to the new students to Results University. So, again, all of this, all this passion and effort I put into just sharing my life experiences. It's not, again, it's not about me. It's not about Carrie. You know, we talked about our lives here, but it's all about our journey. How can I help you? And I do this, take this really seriously, you know, because I sincerely want to help you. And at the same time, this is how we support our family, right? Mass Machine Nutrition, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for investing in one-on-one coaching. Thank you for investing in Results University. I really appreciate that. You really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right. So, hey, let me know if you enjoyed all this conversation. Maybe we can, you know, talk about it. We could really, really go into the depths of our journey and, you know, our fitness and our ideas about the strategies, too. If you'd like, just let me know. Send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. Thank you, Carrie, for
thank you for having
me. Hey, wait a second. We can't. I know we're at an hour and 5 minutes already, but we got to go through our daily disciplines.
Oh, yeah.
Our podcast, all right? So what was that one thing that you did yesterday that really impressed you? With all the things that, and I'm talking to you guys out there, not Carrie, right? What's the thing that you did yesterday that you pushed yourself past what you would normally do? You didn't want to do it, but you knew it for the greater good that you must do it. You stepped up instead of stepping backwards. And it didn't have to be something huge, right? What was that thing that you did yesterday that really impressed you? Do you, have you been going through this process, Carrie?
I have, yeah. I forgot what, I have a but cool
do
moment,
you,
though.
Do you think about it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I mean, that's when you guys know that this is working, is when, right when you're doing it, you're thinking about it. I'm even going through this process.
Yeah.
It's even getting stronger for me. Mm-hmm. So what was the cool moment yesterday that just made you really appreciate life, that life was cool? You said you knew what yours was, Carrie?
Oh, you know, well, I think that, like, we could probably agree that most of our cool moments are with the baby. Yeah. So, you know, every day I have several cool moments with her, but I had like a secondary cool moment, kind of a sidekick cool moment, if you will, yesterday when, you know, this is really, really small, but, you know, I was on the treadmill getting my run in because Skip was so gracious to watch the baby while I could work out.
Wait a second. You know, that's –
I'm not saying –
No, I don't want to step on your story, so let me make sure I get back to it. But
I appreciate him.
Right. Well, she posted something like that, or I posted something like that on my Facebook, and all the feminazis all jumped that, oh, what? He was gracious to watch the baby. That's his job, too, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you're on the
treadmill. He's very generous with his time, allowing me to get my workout time in.
Well, just to let you guys know how it works in the LaCour household is that, you know, Carrie's job, it's our daughter. And it's the home. She does a great job of those type of things. And, you know, I have the responsibility of making all the money for now and in our future, right? That's how we have it set up, because our values are to really put our effort into this child, right? And whatever it takes. And so I, as you can see from my post on Facebook, you can see from my post on bodybuilding.com or wherever, I pretty much work around the clock.
Yeah, it's right? Like he's at the office all the time, basically, you know.
and so when I'm inspired, I go on to Facebook, I go on to bodybuilding.com. When you guys ask the questions, I pretty much answer them pretty quickly. So I work in a 24-hour clock. There's no 1 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't mean anything, that sleep time necessarily. Just like 10 o'clock in the afternoon may not necessarily, unless I've got business meetings set up or something like that. So because of our lifestyle, we use all 24 hours in the day. There's no, you know, big commute times to worry about. There's not traffic, or, you know, she doesn't go to a job that she has to be there between 8 and 5 or something like that. And then I can use, and I do work a lot of the 24 hours. So that gives us, you know, all of our time is used, but we have more flexibility. So when, you know, when you see that on Facebook, what she means is that, you know, it could be prime time business. It could be like, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, East Coast time, which is 10 o'clock in the morning here. If I can work it out, I'll instead of waiting until 6 o'clock at night, you know, I'll just work it out where she can get to the gym. So that's what she means. So it's yes, my daughter's my responsibility. I love taking care of her, but it's just, I work it out where, you know, I put my work aside for an hour and a half so that she can go to the gym at a great time for her. because you know how timing of the gym is important. That's all she's saying, all the feminazis out there. But anyway.
Yeah, anyway, so I was on the treadmill and, you know, I haven't, it's been a while since I worked out, you know, on a regular basis with the pregnancy and everything. So I was listening to music, and normally I have like a playlist, you know, that I run to. And most of you guys out there, you probably can identify, like you have that one song that's really, you know, really gets you going in your workout that, you know, you save for like a tough spot, you know, in your workout, you're trying to push through it. So I decided to listen to Pandora on that specific when I was running yesterday. And so I started listening to this one artist on Pandora, and I thought, oh, you know, and I remembered this other song that I really like to run to that was on my playlist. And I thought, well, okay, before I'm done with this run, I'm going to, you know, quit Pandora and I'm going to go to my playlist just to play that one song to just, you know, really get me through so I can make it a great run. And then that specific song ended up being the next song that was on Pandora. So it was just, you know, it was a very, very small little moment that I thought, oh, that was cool. I didn't even need to switch to my playlist.
The universe read your
thoughts. It was the universe reading my thoughts. Yeah.
I did a little joke about that.
But you know how, like, you get really excited when, you know, your favorite song comes on the radio. You're like, yes, and it's even better than when you listen to it, you know, in your own iPod.
Yeah, it's just those small moments in life that you got to just celebrate.
Like, yeah.
You know, take out the emotion of being so calm and cool all the time and enjoy those moments. You don't get a whole lot of them in life, so you got to notice them when you're there. So that's the whole practice of the whole cool moment thing.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with me now is with cool moments is that to really know it when it's happening.
Yeah, and I knew it then.
And that's the discipline, the mindset that we're developing. And this morning when I was taking the dog out, Alpha, our dog, I just gave him a big hug, you know, because he's so good on taking a back seat to the new baby and everything like that, you know. And I just knew when I hugged him really tight, really appreciated him. That was that cool moment. But the point is, I knew it while it was happening. When you can start developing that mindset, man, you got this stuff down, right? And then what's the thing in life that you really, really want? Not, you know, what you think is available to you, what you really want. And maybe you don't have the skill set yet or the mindset yet, but you're listening to this Morning Connection podcast. It's becoming a part of you. You're getting on a roll for 3 weeks, for 3 months, for 3 years. You're becoming the person who you really want to be. You've invested in Results University. Maybe you've invested in one-on-one coaching. Who knows? Man formation, whatever it takes. You're on a roll, right? What would that person really, really want? Get a picture of that right now. Is it the same one that here in podcast number 90? That you thought of back in, I don't know, podcast number 72? Is it changing, or are you getting more and more clear of that thing that you really, really want? When you can step into it, okay, when you can really feel it, you know, that's when it becomes real. And then you work backwards on how to think and how to take action to actually, you know, make it happen. So get a clear picture of that for a couple minutes on that thing that you really, really want. All right, so so tomorrow, podcast number 91, I start with lesson number 10 of the best lessons that I learned. So if you value this, you're going to kind of value that too. I'm going to keep this connection going. I got a different format after we go through 100. You know, who knows? I mean,
I'm going to be helping you find the little golden nuggets.
Right. We got a way to keep this Morning Connection going. So Carrie, my beautiful wife, thank you so, so much for joining on this podcast.
Thank you for having me. Maybe we'll have a wonderful day, everybody.
Yeah, have a great day. Let me know.
Make it a great day.
And we'll connect again tomorrow.